Welcome to the Three Film Egos. I'm your hirsute host, Isaac Jensen, and with me as always is Utah's whitest black child, Clayton Godby.
When I'm being attacked by a dog.
And our resident vegan dreadlocked Portlandier, Ryan Cragen.
I swear like a sailor.
This is a film discussion podcast where we each pick a film based on a predetermined theme or topic and then talk about anything but. There will be tangents. There will not be spoiler alerts. Consider yourselves warned. On this episode, Justice.
Justice.
Let's talk
about Justice.
Those were 12 Angry Men, Deliverance, and The Proposition, correct?
Yes. That's correct, sir.
Right.
That is correct.
Well, why don't we start with 12 Angry Men?
I'll introduce why I chose this movie for this topic.
Twelve Angry Men,
for me, it just came to my mind immediately when I started thinking about justice in a movie that dealt with what justice meant. And I feel like, you know, Sidney Lumet is a master of his craft, excellent, excellent films for decades on end. But this is one specifically that stands out to me as an almost perfect script, just like so good. And I love the dialogue and I love all 12 characters. I guess there's a 13th character technically with the judge at the beginning, almost introducing the plot. And I like the way that it deals with perspective as well as justice. But this is a law type of justice where you have a room of people, you know, peers, people that live in the same area as a proposed criminal, and their subjective experiences and perspective is going to determine, you know, a very grave occurrence. And for me, it's really interesting. So that's why I chose 12 Angry Men.
Yeah, I thought this was a phenomenal film. Like you said, it's a near perfect script. I actually think it's one of the best scripts ever committed to film that I've seen, just because it is so contained. I mean, there's really only three scenes when you think about it. There's, you know, the first part in the courtroom where, you know, they're getting all the background info that goes into the deliberation room, and it stays there until they leave.
I couldn't help but just be amazed when I watched it. Just, this is a damn good movie. You've got 12 characters that are complete individual characters that are all individually written so perfectly, and I felt that their interactions were just genuine. I felt
so
that these
real.
Were real people here that are really arguing about a pretty sensitive subject, and I was just amazed. And I love movies that can be essentially just one scene and keep you just
riveted
there the whole time. I mean, the only way to do that is through writing and characters. I mean, you're in the same scene, but to keep me that whole time and just thinking the whole time, this is a damn good movie, was very impressive.
Yeah, and I feel like the way they interact with each other, each character interacts with just about every other character in the room, and they all come from different backgrounds, but everything that happens and everything that is said just feels like real people. I wouldn't have been surprised if that was, you know, strangers really in a room with each other interacting and not taking things as seriously as they should and getting upset at each other. And I didn't think the 12 men were really all that angry all the time, but I still felt like it was 12 people almost.
Yeah, I was going to make that joke. It's like, this was really maybe 3 angry men and 9 other dudes.
I think they all get heated at one point or another in the whole movie, though.
Yeah, well, except for Fonda. What's his name? The main dude who says not guilty at first. He seems to keep his head and drive the reasonable aspect of it throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
He
keeps asking questions. He's driving the plot.
Yeah, he's a good example of a
movie.
Good skeptic.
Absolutely, just asking questions, never being certain.
If there was any time that I was frustrated with the dialogue, it was the time somebody, two of the other jurors get angry at each other, and then Henry Fonda is like, he can't hear you, he never will. That was a little bit almost too much of an obvious statement about humanity for me to feel like it was something that someone would really say. But I think that was really the only two sentences of the whole movie that didn't sit with me completely perfectly.
Yeah, I think I remember that kind of, you know, rubbing me the wrong way a little bit. One part that I loved, I thought it was excellent, but kind of didn't ring so true to me, is when the one dude's going on his totally racist, you know, tirade, and everyone stands up in order and moves to the outside of the room. I thought that was
interesting.
Really poignant really poignant and really powerful, but the way it was done felt way too choreographed.
Yeah, not real at all. It's not a real moment, but it was a powerful statement.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think that maybe even the moment after that, where Henry Fonda's character, you know, everybody comes back to the table and he starts a very small speech about intolerance and people's personal prejudices getting in the way of their outlook, that did seem a little too drawn, and it was strange, but I think it was interesting and good to watch and entertaining, because, you know, symbolically, not you know, people not being okay with sitting down with bigotry, sitting at the same table with bigotry, is a concept right. that I like. So it's, I think that Lumet there was trying to draw the concept rather than being hung up on the actual characters being authentic, yes.
But at the same time, they're just written so damn well most of the time.
Right. I think that, you know, if that's not something that people would do, which maybe some people would, but if that's completely unbelievable, still it's forgivable, because it's a great and important message and a great moment of the film, I feel like, still.
Yeah, no, it's a very strong moment of symbolism. Like you said, no one wants to sit at the same table as racism. And, yeah, like I said, you know, even though, you know, I didn't necessarily find it authentic, I think it's still important to the movie. It's still strong.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most famous part of that movie, I think.
It's the when they stand up and turn around.
Yeah,
I liked how long he was going. Like, no matter how many people stood up, he was still trying. It's like, no, I mean, come on, I'll give him as much credit as anybody else. But you know these people. He just like wouldn't stop. I was just like, why is he not uncomfortable yet? Stop talking. That was funny.
Well, I don't know. I've been in pretty heated discussions and been in minority about how I felt about things.
Yeah, when you think you're right, you're going to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the bigotry, people might actually truly believe this. You know, they've been taught their whole life that it's okay and that's how things are.
Right, yeah.
Well, a lot of it isn't a choice that you make, you know, when you're 21 years old, whether or not you're going to be a bigot or not now.
Yeah, I think I'm going to hate colored people now.
Changed my mind. Made my decision.
You know, it's an ingrained characteristic that they're taught. It's passed down.
Right.
I mean, hate is a learned trait.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think I'd agree with you on that.
Yeah, I think specific hate like that is a learned trait. But I think the overarching kind of general fear of things that are different from us might be, you know, an evolutionary instinct, but that's not to say that we're not smart enough to rise above that yet.
Well, I don't
some
think,
people are, it seems like.
I don't think there's any mystery. There's no reason to be afraid of somebody that's black or white. I mean, we know
right.
that there's no difference at all.
Right, right.
And have for some time. You know, there's nothing to be afraid of. Everything that people are afraid of are all lies. It's, you know.
No, I guess that's true. The fear of difference might be a learned trait as well.
Hmm.
All right, well, Deliverance then. Speaking of fear.
Well, I chose Deliverance because we had something like 12 Angry Men that's going to deal with, you know, court system justice. And then when you've got Deliverance, you've got a different kind of justice. You've got definite acts of crime, and you've definitely got one way to solve a problem. And, you know, they obviously go outside of the legal means at the end of the movie. Sometimes I feel like I totally am okay with what they did, and I totally would have done the same thing.
See, with me, when I thought about that film in relation to justice, I thought about the Canoers, the main characters, as being the ones under the scrutiny of justice, of whether or not what they decided to do with the body was just or not. And that's why I felt like it was a pretty good film for the subject of justice. Like, was it just? Was it okay?
The lie about the truth, essentially, to the lie about what they did.
And it kind of goes back to antiquated ideas about masculinity as well. I mean, the one dude is totally, you know, emasculated by the hillbilly. And it's, I think, not so much in this last decade, but that's the kind of thing that you experience as a man, and then you don't want to ever talk about it or discuss it or tell anyone about it ever. You know, you kind of got that feeling from the character as well. About,
absolutely.
Like, you know,
definitely. He was trying to cover the tracks and hide what had happened, maybe so that he could forget or so that he wouldn't be judged for that. even though he had little control over it.
Right, because I think if it was a modern set movie, they might have still killed the guy, but they might have actually taken it to the police. Like, this was self-defense. We got three witnesses. You know, it would have been a totally different movie if it weren't for that kind of sense of masculinity.
Right, absolutely. Like, I don't want people to know what happened.
Right, yeah, but you know, at the same time, like Ryan said, I think what they did, I find myself at the end of the movie thinking, yeah, I probably would have gone along with that 100%.
I'm just on the fence about it. It's just one of those movies that makes you question the justice of an act, of a very specific act that you witness. And as it plays out, I think that the way that it makes you question that is why the film is valuable. I found a lot of things in the film to be really not to my liking. And actually, I'm not sure that I would say that it's a film that I particularly loved. But that aspect of it, that, you know, it makes you think about something. And really, you're kind of on the fence. And I think the filmmakers know that it's something that could go one way or the other. And people are going to be arguing about it. And that's what makes it memorable. And for me, it was very entertaining because of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's why shot to my mind when we were thinking about, you know, justice.
Yeah, well, maybe I wouldn't necessarily go along with it, but I guess it'd be probably more, it'd be better to say I understand why they did it, you know, and I don't know that I'd fault them for it. It's probably a better way to put it.
Right.
But yeah, you could go either way. You could say, you know, you did the wrong thing, but, you know, looking at it another way, you could say, I see why you did it.
Yeah, that I would agree with.
Well, how about this? Let's say I'm the guy that gets raped by the hillbilly, and you guys are with me, and right. And so this has happened, and it's essentially up to me whether or not we go to the cops and I admit to everything that happened, and I lose my so-called masculinity, or we bury the body and we don't tell the truth about the situation and what happened never happened.
If it was the early 70s, I'd go with you, but because of how advanced forensic, you know, investigations have got in modern times, if it was now, I don't know. I think I'd be more inclined to just go straight to the police.
What if I was saying that it would be for me? Like, in order to get over the emotional effect of whatever this is going to have, I don't want to go share it with the whole world and talk about it in court or in a police report. I don't have to tell my family about it. I don't want to even think about it. I want to pretend it never happened at all. And I want you to go along with this, and this is the last time any of this will ever be discussed.
Well, if we had the tools to remove the fingers and the teeth, I'd be in.
You know, for me personally, even with you being my friend and it's to protect you and everything, I still don't think I could bury a body and leave it in the forest. And
you got to remember that
it never comes back to bite
me. Flooded. It's never going to be seen.
Oh, I forgot about that aspect. Yeah, they were flooding the
river. That is true.
They're flooding the whole thing, dude. It's going to get flooded. No one's ever finding that body. Ever finding it.
Yeah, if I didn't have any doubt, then I'd...
No doubt. There's no doubt the body's going to get found. That's what I'm saying. We don't talk about this, or we do talk about this.
I still know. I just don't know. I guess I would just have... I would just be... I'm like a bad friend that's there and just like, I don't know, you know...
I guess
the guy's already dead. we're not gonna make it better for him. He's gone.
Right, but at the same time, after you had gone through almost dying, friend getting raped, somebody getting shot in the throat with a bow and arrow, you might not be in such a good state of mind. A very clear state of mind.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd probably all be in shock anyway.
Exactly.
Which I think would be a defense that held up in court, actually.
You think that would hold up in court?
Well, just say we acted in self-defense. We panicked. We were all in shock about the incident. We decided against our best judgment to bury the body and take off, if it ever came back. But, you know, like you said, they're going to flood the place, so I don't think it would.
They're going to flood the place. No one's going to miss those hillbillies. They're already supposed to be out of the whole area anyway.
Oh, speaking of, that kid with the guitar.
Yeah, of course. The dueling banjos.
Creepy as shit.
Yeah, the inbred.
That was creepy, but you know, for how infamous this movie is and how much it's referenced all over the place, I was expecting to be even more creeped out than I was. I was expecting more incidences with hillbillies, like hillbillies coming out of the woods, like in droves, coming after these guys.
Really?
Hills have eyes, Clayton.
See, when I saw this movie for the first time, I had no preconceptions of it. I knew nothing about it, which is the way I prefer to watch movies. I prefer to know absolutely nothing about them before I see them.
I do too.
And I didn't know a damn thing about this. I didn't know about the dueling banjos. I didn't know about the squeal. I didn't know anything about any of this. I had heard jack shit. But I did walk away from it terrified, for sure. It definitely weirded me out watching this movie.
Really?
But in a good way.
It was not. I wasn't sure if I liked watching it or not. I wasn't.
Oh, I liked watching it.
I'm the opposite.
But immediately I wasn't like, I was like, you know, it's not really fun. I don't like rape scenes at all. They just fuck me up. They just fuck me up real bad because I think about really fucked up shit like, why would somebody do that? And I just go on moral issues in my head. But so I wasn't sure at the time, but I definitely now, after having soaked it up, definitely approve of the movie.
Yeah, and this is kind of what I was talking about with the 70s movies. Like, I actually, after I watched this, I watched a little 10-minute interview with the director talking about how the studio pretty much had no input at all. Like, they pretty much gave him money and said, go make your movie. And then he finished the movie, and he screened it for him, and they just wanted him to shorten the death scene of the hilly with the arrow. And he said, they kind of have to see this man dying for the impact of that. And he ended up actually taking out 6 frames. So it's like less than half a second is missing from the film. But he said, other than that, it is the film he made. And I was like, that's the kind of 70s filmmaking that isn't around today.
That's awesome.
But you can feel the integrity of the film.
You need that there. It has to be there.
Right. But I thought it was kind of funny that, the studio, 6 frames, less. That's, I think that's even less than a quarter of a second.
I'm
is it really going
to
make a difference?
That it's actually just that part that they would want to cut out.
Yeah, but that's what I was talking about with the early 70s American studios. They were all about the creative process as opposed to the marketing.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought that they would have tried to edit more of the rape scene out than... Because I don't
Can
recall...
Can you just make this a 20-minute short of people going down the river?
Yeah.
Remove all the unpleasantness?
I'm just saying of anything to censor, that's what I would have thought. I wouldn't have thought, because maybe I'm just so... I've seen so many modern movies that are all explosions and violence that... I'm desensitized to, that little arrow going through the throat. But I didn't think it was that gratuitous, especially for a movie that you just watched people get shot at and raped in the woods.
Yeah.
That rape scene was far more disturbing than an arrow.
Exactly.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It's interesting that they would choose to censor that. I mean, the ratings in general. I mean, I don't want to go on our diatribe, but, we can have gratuitous violence everywhere, and that's a PG movie even sometimes now. any sex, any love, then it's adult only.
I don't even pay attention to ratings anymore.
Oh, yeah. it's a movie. It's not what it's rated.
Exactly.
All right. The Proposition. That was my pick.
Great movie.
Yeah, you liked it?
I loved it. I think Nick Cave is awesome. I guess I just like everything that Nick Cave does.
Yeah, well, I didn't like his soundtrack for The Road, but other than that, I like Nick Cave.
I haven't seen The Road.
But it was actually the same director as The Proposition, and I thought the movie would have been great if there was no soundtrack at all. But the soundtrack was overly sappy and sentimental and tried to drive home the horror of it all, of the, the post-apocalypse. And had there been no soundtrack, I think it would have been a darker and more impacting film, but now we're talking about a movie that we're not supposed to talk about. So back to The Proposition. Sorry, I always go off on tangents like that. Proposition. I remember hearing it mentioned, I think it was Jeff Weiss. Back when he was writing for the Deseret News, and he does the movie reviews for Radio From Hell. And he did like his top 10 one year and just said, The Proposition, this is one of the only movies I gave 4 stars this year. And I had heard nothing about it. He didn't mention what it was about. And I went and, I guess I looked it up and saw that it was an Australian Western. And I was like, that's good enough for me. So I actually bought the Blu-ray and now I've watched it twice because it was super cheap. It was like $7 when I got it.
Oh, but that's
I love,
for a Blu-ray.
Yeah. I love how understated it is. Like it doesn't really over-explain anything. You're pretty much just put in the situation, and you follow Guy Pearce through his journey of, how do you make that kind of decision? How can you really even think about it? Like, I got to kill my older brother to save my younger brother.
He's so unsure about it the whole time, too. I mean, he gets there, can't do shit about it,
Yeah, but you also kind of get the sense he knows his older brother is evil. He's a tyrant. He's terrorizing the people, but it's still your brother.
I think that was like an interesting part of it, and the reason why I agree that it's an excellent pick for Justice is the question, is one man's life worth sacrificing for another's, even if you know that the man under question of being sacrificed, is evil. And then also the fact that it's a family drama and it's a family business as well is an interesting aspect.
Right, and just the whole kind of Old West justice of pretty much, you know, we catch you and then we give you 100 lashes and you bleed out.
Yeah.
That was a pretty brutal scene for me to watch.
The lack of justice and how they thought they were civilized and what civilization was. Their idea of civilized is still so uncivilized, it's ridiculous.
Right.
You know?
Right.
They go from forcefully taking land from native people to lashing out kids that haven't been proved doing nothing wrong except having a brother that's evil. You know,
yeah.
They kill a kid for that. You know, and they're the ones claiming to have the law on their side.
Yeah.
So
they're the civilized ones who wear the suits and have the Thanksgiving turkey. I guess it was Christmas, actually.
I also thought it was interesting to see just a Western from Australia. With Aborigines, you know, I had never even seen a story like that at all. And so it was kind of fresh for me, not seeing American
right
Westerns.
And I think they did it right. It was something that I enjoyed much more than a lot of Westerns that I've seen. I'm not a Western guy. Western isn't the genre for me, but that is a movie that I really enjoyed. Certain scenes from it really stuck with me, especially the violence scenes. And I think that there ought to be more Westerns made in Australia.
Well, because, yeah, most of the continent is desert.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just seems like a very underexploited concept to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just made a Western fresh again. But, you know, I'm a sucker for some of the good Westerns. But
yeah, me too.
Right.
The good, the bad, and the ugly and stuff like that. You can't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, I love those films. But especially a lot of modern Westerns, I either don't see or I don't enjoy. The classics are classics for a reason, a lot of times, I feel like, in the Western genre. But in general, I'm more prone to watch some art film or drama or, you know, dark comedy over a Western. But this one was evidence that I should look at the genre more often, I feel like.
Yeah, well, this one, I think it works better because it's not just the Western is not the driving force behind the movie. It's a family drama. It's art kind of set in a Western setting as opposed to let's get a Western and then figure out all the details later.
Yeah, instead of a shoot 'em, you know, bank robbery heist movie, you know, or kill a man movie or save a man Western, you know, that all have the same plot device. This one's an actual character drama.
Mm-hmm.
That you have in a Western setting. It's not even a standard Western setting, so it's all fresh, yep. Had style.
And what do you think about the ending? Where he puts a bullet
yeah.
in his brother's gut, and then he goes out.
Next
and the brothers, the last line of the movie is the old brother saying, well, what are you going to do now? And then dies, and then the movie ends.
I think that's a great ending, because I like it when sometimes a movie will just call out what you're thinking. like I was thinking toward the end of that, like, wow, this is playing out in a very tragic manner. That's the question that is next. What's next for this character? You know, where is he going to go now?
And I loved the scene where he meets the bounty hunter for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. When he's hammered. Yeah, the guy's hammered in there and he's
talking in grandiose verbiage.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so good. I mean, this is the second time I watched it. And it's just one of those movies where you're just in it from the get-go.
It was definitely captivating. A fairly simple story. You can explain the plot in a sentence, but still complex, really, in the themes and the concept that it begs you to ask yourself.
Right.
I thought there were no heroes in this movie. The only hero or anything close to it is the one kid that's wrongfully imprisoned and gets killed for no reason. Everybody
else
in the movie makes or, you know, has problems.
Yeah. And I think it's implied. I think it's implied that the younger brother was actually there at the massacre that took place. That they're trying to get all three of them for it. But they never are really clear on the level of involvement of any of them. They just know that the older brother led the massacre. But I think I remember hearing second time through that the younger brother was there. But again, he's the younger brother. Who knows if he's even, you know, an adult? Who knows if he's even mentally able to understand what's happening?
He
seems pretty dim-witted.
He didn't strike as the guy that was, you know, the other guy that was hiding out in the wilderness, the brother's, you know, right-hand man, seems kind of like an idiot that would actually participate in that. You know, he ends up trying to rape
right.
the girl. The brother that got arrested didn't seem like that kind of a character to me. He kind of just seemed just like an innocent young little kid, but
yeah.
maybe
yeah,
I just
I
didn't
that.
Notice that detail enough. But I just, I don't know. The movie had no real heroes at all. It was definitely a tragedy from scene number one to the end.
Yeah, and Guy Pearce plays the anti-hero of sorts. And I love movies like that where there is no defined morality. There is no line between right and wrong.
Right.
Just everyone's a victim of their circumstances.
Absolutely.
I think the concept for the movie actually, in its conciseness, reminds me of 12 Angry Men. I think that those two movies are kind of similar in that here is a circumstance, here are some characters, now it's up to you to kind of think about and decide the justice of what's going on, of what you're seeing. And I like that we've picked here some movies. Really, Deliverance is pretty simple as well, where your decision making on morality is kind of a big part of the movie.
Yeah, they promote the discussion.
Exactly. And all of the movies will be discussed and have been discussed many times over. I've heard 12 Angry Men brought up in so many film discussions about argument and justice and court dramas. One of the most famous court dramas, probably, Deliverance. Infamous.
Yeah, I feel Deliverance is infamous for a few different, you know, not necessarily justice.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, well, the dueling banjos.
Yeah, there's multiple things that are infamous in that, but definitely, I think the proposition, it's a tough call. If you were to pick your favorite of these three movies, which would you pick?
Okay, well, I think for me, I think the one that deals with the topic the best is Deliverance, actually, because I think it promotes the most discussion on the topic. Whereas 12 Angry Men is the one that's probably most obvious about justice, and the proposition is more kind of the nebulous, vague idea of justice. I think Deliverance really just puts it in your face and says, you got to think about this.
You know, when you put it like that, I might agree with you to some degree. On how well it deals with the topic, but I think of the three movies, I probably liked watching that one the least, and I had a better time watching each of the other two movies. So
I would agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that too. Of the three, I think I would probably rate it Proposition first, then 12 Angry Men, then Deliverance. I mean, I love them all.
I think the Deliverance has more replay value for me, I'm saying of 12 Angry Men or Deliverance. I think the Proposition is probably my favorite movie of the three, but I don't know. I think I could watch Deliverance more than I could 12 Angry Men.
I actually end up watching 12 Angry Men pretty much annually, and I love it every time. And I guess I'm drawn to characters like that, though, that just feel real, and you hear them talking and interacting a lot. And so in way of just enjoying watching and replay, my vote would still be with 12 Angry Men.
Yeah, I think I could watch 12 Angry Men more than Deliverance, but I don't know. I mean, it's kind of an arbitrary decision. I think I could watch any of these.
Yeah, know, fair enough. I don't think I should ever worry about replay value that much. I think that's fair.
Yeah, it was a good week of viewing.
I would definitely say, though, that the Proposition was just so new to me that I think I would watch that one again more recently than the next ones.
Right on.
I think I want to watch it again at least a few more times. And so I could watch 12 Angry Men again, but I don't really want to watch it again.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for justice. We've done it justice.
Justice. Yes.
If you want to get involved in the discussion, you can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/threefilmegos, or follow us on Twitter @threefilmegos, or email us at threefilmegos@gmail.com, or even comment at threefilmegos.podomatic.com, where you can also donate and subscribe to the show. Music provided by 90s Television. You can hear more of their music on Facebook. Many thanks to TMJ77 for the very kind 5-star review on iTunes. On our next episode, time travel. We've been the Three Film Egos. Now squeal.